welcome back to today's Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. Think of how much time one may spend in a supermarket. Sure, some of you might never push a cart through a lane or make use of coupons, but others spend lots of money and certainly energy shopping for food. So as usual, chef, author, syndicated columnist Linda Gassenheimer is with us, and this week we navigate today's modern supermarkets. Hey, Linda.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, Linda.
Nice to be with you. You know, Joe and Bonnie, organic. So what's the scoop? You know, grocery aisles are filled with organic foods, and I wanted to know, what does organic really mean? What does 100% organic mean? What are we buying? And our guest today is going to help us out. He's television and radio reporter. He's a consumer trend watcher. He's Phil Lampert. And he's the editor of his popular and very informative website, supermarketguru.com. Welcome, Phil Lampert.
Thank you, Linda. It's always great to be with you.
Always. I'm looking forward to what you have to tell us. And of course, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any questions or comments about organic food? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
Or radio at WLRN.org.
And of course, with us is our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype. And Fred gives the wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes column that you can read in the Miami Herald or online. And you can also read Fred's wine column in Saturday's Miami Herald. Fred, what are we drinking today?
I'm going to talk about wines that have flavors added to them to be a little more sweet or something like that.
Oh, that sounds good.
If you like it.
Okay. Phil Lampert, organic. Tell us, what does the label mean? One's a circle that says USDA certified, another says 100%. What's this all about?
Well, Linda, it's more complicated than the average person thinks. Let's start off with the most important thing, that from a nutrition standpoint, USDA certified organic or conventional is the same nutritionally. And there's been a lot of studies.
That's very interesting to note, that no matter what, by conventional you mean the regular produce that we buy.
Correct.
Yes.
Now, when you see that seal, USDA certified organic, that means that there has been very strict rules that have been followed, that the government has set up. There are also other certification agencies like QAI and so on. So whenever you see that seal, you'll know that you're buying organic. Now, organic doesn't mean no pesticides. In fact, there's actually over 100 different pesticides that can be used in organic production.
Let's hear that again. You can use organic foods can have pesticides in them. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
So one of the most important things whenever you buy any produce is to make sure that you're washing it. And probably a produce wash is the best thing. My favorite one is actually FIT, F-I-T, which is actually made from citrus. So it really cleans it. There's no soap in it and so on. And you're really getting a thorough washing of those fruits and vegetables.
Well, that's
the other thing.
I just ask you about that? Because I always wondered. Let's say I'm eating an apple, and it's an organic one, but it's had pesticides. Does it mean that it's never had any pesticides inside? In other words, I guess I should ask it this way. If it's a conventional apple and it's had pesticides, I wash the outside. But as it's growing, would there be any pesticide residue inside?
Well, keep in mind that the way that you get pesticides or bacteria inside any fruit or vegetable is the fact that most people have not washed it. You're taking a knife, you're cutting through it, so that knife blade is actually putting whatever the residue is on the outside into the inside. And while pesticides are one element of it, the other thing we've got to remember is that organic production allows for manure to be used as a fertilizer. And one of the reasons that we constantly keep on seeing more E. coli outbreaks on organic produce is exactly the fact that E. coli comes from manure. So we've really got to be smart on what we're buying. You know, get the triple washed lettuces, if you would, that are in the bags. Yes, it has a slight chlorine bath to it, but it's not harmful. And we really want to protect ourselves not only against pesticide residue, but also a lot of pathogens and a lot of bacteria.
Phil, I have the feeling that a lot of people are maybe like me in that we just kind of ignore that and just open up the grape bag and eat a few.
Correct, which is the wrong thing to do. Absolutely.
Well, that's not a first.
And I just want to say one other thing. One of the biggest movements that we've seen, and we're just talking about produce right now, is the movement towards local. Now, local is, in my opinion, better than organic. The reason is that when you're buying local produce and you've got retailers like Publix that has long been a proponent of buying local, buying Florida-grown, which is very important, that produce has actually either been on the vine or in the ground or on a tree longer. It didn't have to be shipped from Peru or Chile or other products, which means that it does have more flavor and it has more nutrients, again, because it was on the stem longer than being picked before it was ripe and then possibly gassed. Now, you talk about apples, Linda, and the thing that most people don't realize, I don't care what kind of apple it is, most apples are in storage, cold storage, for about a year before it hits, you know, your supermarket. So you really, if you love apples, you want to talk to your produce manager, you want to find out what are the freshest apples possible. And again, you're going to get a lot different flavor, a lot different taste sensation from a freshly picked apple than one that's been in cold storage for a year.
Wow. Well, let me ask you something else that that's kind of been wondering about. You know, we have Walmart, we have Costco, we have so many supermarkets. They're all selling organic produce, and I don't think we grow that much organic produce in the United States. So what are we buying? Where is it coming from?
Well, you're correct, Linda.
I'm sad to hear that I'm correct.
Yeah, I know. And unfortunately, there's two things to remember. The best growing regions are in Mexico, used to be in California before the drought. For citrus, certainly Florida, but now with the whole greening situation, a lot of those crops have been destroyed. The citrus in Florida is down to about a third of what it was before the greening disease hit. So a lot of it's coming from Mexico, Peru, Chile, and keep in mind that their regulations for organic might not be the same as ours. That's number one. Number two is one of the biggest producers of produce, and Linda, I hope you're sitting down, that export to the U.S. is actually from China. So a lot of that's going into food service operations. We've got to read the labels carefully.
Well, you keep, and sorry to interrupt you, Phil. Yeah. You know, read the labels carefully. There are a lot of sad faces in this room when you said that about China. And what do we look for on a label? It's hard. What should we look
for? It's hard, and it's getting even worse. The reason it's worse is part of the Farm Bill. At the last minute, what happened is they actually deregulated country of origin labeling. So for a period of time, whether it was seafood, whether it was produce, whatever, by law, it had to say on that package which country it came from. That law has now been repealed. So we don't have that. So we've really got to rely on looking at the boxes that sometimes we don't see. But in the produce department, sometimes they'll actually put the box in the case. Look at it carefully and ask your produce manager where it's coming from. Unfortunately, this was one of those shockers that for so many years really helped consumers, and then to repeal it, and they repealed it basically because they had complaints from other countries because we don't want to buy our food from China. We might not want to buy our foods from Mexico and the like, and now we just don't know where it's coming from without really doing some investigation.
Well, now we can't say that because it comes from Mexico or because it comes from China, it's necessarily bad. What controls are there? What U.S. controls are there for this food that's imported?
There is inspections that take place on our borders. However, according to USDA, that's less than 1% of all food that is imported into the U.S. is actually inspected. So we don't have a great checks and balances in there. And I've been to China, and I've been to a lot of food factories in China, and I can tell you that personally, I avoid buying products, products from China. Mexico has some great farming, as does Peru and Chile, and it really depends on farm after farm after farm.
Well, let me ask you then, having heard all of this, is it worth buying organic foods? I mean, it's an extra cost. I mean, should we be buying it?
It depends on why you're buying it. One of the important regulations about being USDA certified organic is that it cannot contain GMOs. It cannot have any genetically modified organisms in that product. So, you know, as we're seeing this battle playing out for labeling of GMOs and everybody's spending hundreds of millions of dollars to fight it, all you've got to do if you want to avoid GMOs is buy certified organic. So if you're looking to do that, yes, certified organic is good. There's certain produce items that have a thick skin, if you would, like a banana. I would never buy an organic banana. As I said before, for me, buying local is far better than buying organic, both for the flavor and the nutrients. If you've got something that's very porous, like a raspberry, for example, I would buy, you know, organic raspberries. But if it's got a thick skin on it, probably no reason to spend that extra money.
Okay.
And when we look at a lot of the products that are out there that are in jars and boxes that are organic, again, you've got to figure out
why potatoes?
There are very few organic potatoes actually grown here in the U.S. And I think that when you buy a potato, the most important thing we've got to remember is that it has been in the ground. Make sure you have a really stiff potato brush and really scrub it because, you know, a lot of people don't scrub their potatoes the way they should. The reason is that that really is dirt, and it could have different fertilizer or different pesticides as part of it. So you want to be real careful.
I think we're going to be scrubbing our fruits, vegetables.
Yes,
yep.
But we're going to have to take a short break here. This is fascinating. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we're talking about organic food with supermarket guru Phil Lempert. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. And we've been talking about the realities, or maybe the myths, of buying organic food with supermarket guru Phil Lempert. He's a television and radio reporter. He's a consumer trend watcher. And he has this very popular and very informative website. It's called supermarketguru.com. And he's been giving us so much fascinating information. If you've missed some of it, it'll be archived at WLRN.org.
Bonnie's afraid to eat her own cooking now.
Now, yeah. Maybe she was afraid before that. Never mind.
Maybe there isn't any.
Okay. Well, now it's dinner in minutes time. So if you're still going to be cooking, the dinner today is horseradish encrusted chicken with garlic, sweet potatoes, and sugar snap peas. Most chicken we use is boneless, skinless chicken breast, but I like the thighs because they have so much more flavor and they're juicy. And here, the horseradish gives it a lot of zip. And the potatoes and snap peas take only minutes because I make them in the microwave. So all you have to do is you mix the mayonnaise and horseradish together and you coat the chicken with it. Roll the chicken in some panko breadcrumbs. Cook it in the skillets about 5 minutes each side. Meat thermometer should read 165 minutes. Yes, you can olive oil, or you can just spray your pan.
Not butter.
You could use. I knew you wanted to use butter. You go ahead, enjoy yourself. All my columns fit the government guidelines for nutrition, but never mind. The side dish, you cut the potatoes in about the same size as your snap peas, and you want to really wash them really well, right, Phil?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And wash the chicken breast also. And when you're buying chicken, you know, always look at that package when you're buying fresh chicken, and you'll see a little bladder underneath the chicken. That absorbs whatever extra moisture. Usually the more moist that the chicken breast is, the longer it's been sitting in that case. So gently press down on the chicken breast and see how much moisture is coming out of that bladder, whether or not the juices are running clear, whether or not there's some blood spots in it, and that's the way they can make sure you get the freshest chicken breast possible.
So you don't want the blood spots?
No.
No.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's great advice. Thank you. Well, that recipe is from my book, Quick and Easy Chicken, and you can also read that complete recipe with a photo. It's at dinnerinminutes.com. Fred Tasker, what are we drinking?
Linda, last week I talked about the idea that every new generation of wine drinkers has its own entry wine. The first wine they try from Boone's Farm or in the 70s to sweet red wines for today's millennial generation. And it turns out now that it's a bigger trend than I even realized. These days, it isn't enough to just make good wine. Now you've got to have a gimmick. It's kind of like cloning human beings. We can probably do it, but is it a good idea? Now, flavored wines aren't new. The ancient Greeks added herbs to their wine, and they even smoked it to cover up the fact that they hadn't invented corks yet, so the wine was usually spoiled. But now we have chocolate wine.
That sounds good. Yeah, I think that sounds good, chocolate wine.
Actually, it does taste pretty good. I'm a little embarrassed to say it, but it does. For $11 a bottle, you can buy Choco Vine, whose slogan is the taste of Dutch chocolate and fine red wine. It's French Cabernet with Dutch chocolate added, and its sales are booming. And I found that it goes pretty well with chocolate chip cookies. And then in France, the Haussmann Famille Chateau is making white wine flavored with grapefruit and red wine flavored with cola. And that makes sense because during the Beijing Olympics, American reporters reported that rich but clueless Chinese drinkers felt that even the top expensive French Bordeaux wines were too dry for them. So this cut them 50% with Coca-Cola.
What a crime.
Of course, it's not just wine. Vodka comes in a dozen flavors now, from cherry to whipped cream. And in my liquor cabinet, speaking of organic, I have a bottle of organic cucumber vodka, which makes a pretty good martini, actually. And you can also buy several brands of pineapple-flavored whiskey, and Captain Morgan makes a pineapple-flavored rum. I guess it's too much trouble to go out and buy regular rum to add to your own and add your own pineapple juice. And finally, the drinks bloggers in the Huffington Post report that winemakers are looking into that ultimate adulterated flavor, proving that the apocalypse is near. They're making wine flavored with salty, smoky bacon.
That would be up your alley, Joe. Yeah, Joe.
I think that's even too much for me.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Phil Lampert, what about that organic cucumber vodka?
Sure. You know, here's the problem, that what people have found out is that when you put the name organic on anything, sales go up. So, for example, Whole Foods got caught a few years ago by having organic salmon. Well, there is no regulation for organic seafood because you really can't track fish, but they were selling it, I think at the time, for like $27.99 a pound.
Wow.
Same thing, yeah, same thing that we're seeing with, you know, organic beers or organic vodkas and so on. And back to what was talked about before, about organic potatoes, one of the reasons that we really don't see a lot of organic potatoes is the cost to produce them is through the roof. So when you have an organic cucumber vodka that you're going to find that it's probably very, very expensive. Now, you can also have grain-based vodkas, but those are probably not going to be organic because, again, you know, a lot of grains are GMOs. So, again, it's what you really want to see with that label.
Okay, so is there any regulation? If I wanted to, if they're calling it organic vodka, organic cucumber vodka, and it really isn't, is there any regulation, government regulation, against, I mean, can anybody just put organic on a label?
Unfortunately, the way the system works with the government as far as labeling goes, you and I could come up with any product we want. We could put on it gluten-free, paleo, organic, whatever. And until somebody actually complains, registers a complaint with the government, and has proof that we are cheating, that our ingredients are not, nothing happens. So again, we really don't have a great checks and balances system. And when you look at every year, there's about 16,000 new food and beverage products that are introduced, and a supermarket has about 50,000 products. It's really a monumental task that the government is faced with.
Wow. And then again, we only have about 30 seconds left, but, you know, when you're looking at processed foods and condiments and things, and they say they're organic, that doesn't mean that every single ingredient in that bottle is.
If it has a USDA certified seal on it, that means that it has 95% or greater organic ingredients. Otherwise, they can't use that seal, and they would just have to list the ingredients that it has organic whatever. The reason for that is there are certain products, for example, that have a lot of water in them. There is no such thing as organic water. So, you know, that's why the government regulation is like that.
Wow. There's so many more questions to ask you, but we're just out of time. Wonderful advice, as always, Phil Lampert. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
His website is supermarketguru.com. Can anyone go to that website?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. And Bonnie Berman, Joe Cooper.
Yeah.
Are you going to be cooking these days, Bonnie?
Well, the baked potatoes I cook are going to be scrubbed so much there may not be any potato left.
Okay. Fred Tasker, thanks for your great advice.
Always a pleasure.
Well, next week, we'll be talking with megastar Martha Stewart. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.